Hallelujah. And if you're thankful to be in the presence of this great God, why don't you stand to your feet and clap your hands and let's lift up one more loud voice of praise across the auditorium. Lord, we praise you. You are great in all of your ways and all of your works. We worship you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're great and you're greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. And his name is exalted. And I feel faith in the house of God tonight. And where there is his presence, as we feel it here in this service, God is able to do any work, to do any miracle, to give any answer that you need. And you know the great thing about God is, one of the great things about God is I don't have to feel him to know he's here. I thank God that I can feel his presence. Anybody feel him in this sanctuary tonight as the songs of worship were going forth? But the word tells me that when we gather together and we lift him up, that he's going to be right there. When we come together and we call on his name, that he is going to respond. So maybe this is just for one or two, but whether you feel him or not, he is in this place right now. If you believe his word, you've got to acknowledge that Jesus is in the building. Why don't we worship and praise him one more time, acknowledging his presence. Lord, you're great. We worship you, O great God. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 22. Matthew 14. Verse 22, and immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Everybody say, he made them. In other words, he told them, he commanded them, he made them. He said, get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. The Bible says it was tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, it was just not favorable. There was a storm. The wind was battering their vessel. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Aren't you thankful that he can come into the middle of any circumstance or any storm of your life? In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out with fear, cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Look at your neighbor and say, be happy. Look at somebody else and say, Jesus is here. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. I believe Jesus wants to give somebody peace here tonight. Jesus wants to speak his presence and his power and his miraculous hand into somebody's situation or turmoil. I want to preach you from this simple thought, a miracle in the midst of the storm. A miracle in the midst of the storm. Would you just lift up your voice to heaven one more time and thank him for his presence and invite him to speak to you in the remaining minutes of this service. Lord, we worship you, we honor you, we thank you for your wonderful power and presence. We ask that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. And you can be seated in Jesus' name. As I read this text, one of the things that occurred to me was that life sometimes is like an ocean. Some of you have been to the ocean, and maybe others have not. But life can be in some ways like an ocean. It's always moving. It's seldom still. Sometimes life is calm, and aren't we thankful for those days? And sometimes life gets a bit stormy. As quickly as the winds from one storm in life seem to subside, the clouds of another storm dance on the horizon. And at times in life, it appears that we go from stormy season into another stormy season. I can remind you tonight of what probably many already know and have found to be true, that serving our Lord doesn't exempt you from the storm. Working in his kingdom doesn't exempt you from the storm. In fact, the storm in our text overcame the disciples while they were in the middle of doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. However, it was in this storm and in this text that they learned a valuable lesson that evening. And I believe God wants to remind us of this lesson tonight, that they discovered that Jesus is able to give them a miracle even in the middle of a storm. That Jesus is able to produce a miracle no matter what tragedy or trauma you are going through. We read in our text, and we keyed in on it in the very first couple of verses, that they were sent into the storm. Jesus had multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had done this great miracle and feeding the multitude. He had just come from that miracle. And there are times in our life in serving God that probably, like the disciples on this day, we enjoy the rush of the miraculous. But sometimes after enjoying the rush and the high of the miraculous, the reality of life may set back in. Sometimes we can go from miracle and blessing and provision into a stormy season of life. If I can say it this way, sometimes spiritual highs have corresponding spiritual lows. And it's those times that test our spiritual mettle, if you will. It's these times. What do we do when the fervency of the moment fades, or when the music dies down, or when church is over, when it's all dismissed and everybody goes home and no friends are around and the atmosphere changes? When we go from a mountaintop, anybody ever went from a mountaintop to the bottom of a valley? Anybody ever went from a calm season in life or a victorious season in life to a season of tragedy in life? But I've come to remind us of another thing that we already know, that our faithfulness to God is tested in those seasons that are valley seasons. Our faithfulness to God is tested in those moments of storm in our life. It's when we make up our mind to just keep walking and to just keep living for Him and to keep going forward, even when the opposition gets strong. It's easy to shout on the mountain. It's a little more difficult to shout when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's easy to worship Him when Jesus is performing miracles and multiplying loaves and fishes and everybody is in awe of His miraculous power. But it becomes a little more difficult perhaps to worship Him when we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. What's interesting to me, one of the things interesting to me about this particular text that jumped out at me, and I've preached from this text and taught from it at least a couple of times in the past over the years. But one thing that leapt out at me this time was that Jesus sent them into the storm. One thing that just was illuminated to me again, aren't you thankful for the Word of God? The living Word of God. You can, if you've spent much time in the Word, you know you can read the same passage of Scripture again and again, and it seems like every time you can draw new strength and fresh truth from the Word of God. There is nothing like the Word of God. And let me just say as a side note that nothing will get you through your storm like your spiritual disciplines of prayer and being in the Word of God. I thank God for a church that believes in those spiritual disciplines. Perhaps some places you can make a statement like that and there would be a quiet response. But we believe in prayer and we believe in getting our lives founded and firmly placed in the Word of God. But He knew that they were sailing into a storm. In fact, the Bible lets us know that He sent them into the storm before their ship ever left its port. He knew what was waiting for them. The weather may have been fine when He was feeding the multitude. Everything may have been good then. It may have been blue skies, everyone elated by the miracle that had just taken place. But He, God, knew where they were going. What's the point? The point is that He is not surprised by the storm. Let me say it again. God is not surprised or caught off guard by the storm. I think God's trying to speak to us. I know God's trying to speak to somebody because I heard Pastor Reaver say the same thing in the service this morning, and it was already in my notes for tonight. God is not surprised by your storm. He's not surprised by your dilemma or difficulty that you're facing. when they got on the boat, they were on a spiritual high. They had just seen this incredible miracle, but that was about to come to the end. They didn't know it, but God knew where they were going. He could have turned the storm away. Think about that. He could have sent them around the storm. He could have stopped the storm. He could have protected them from the storm. He could have planned an entirely different route for them. He could have delayed their launch. He was all-knowing. He could have delayed the launch of their vessel until the storm had passed out in the middle of that sea and then let them go after the storm. Or he could have at least given them some warning that, hey, when you get out there, I want you to know that, when you get halfway through the sea, when you get halfway through this next month, that's not a prophecy for anybody, just an analogy. Everybody's going, oh, my goodness, plug ears. No, when you get halfway through the week, that's not a prophecy either. When you get halfway, he could have let them know that there's going to be a storm coming. He could have prepared them. He knew that the storm was coming, but he also knew that the same one that sent them in the storm was going to take care of them in the middle of the storm. I know that's such an elementary point, but let me say it again for somebody, that the same God that has allowed you to go into the storm is the same God who is going to take care of you through the storm. If God allowed you to go through the storm, it's because he knows that no storm can wrestle you out of his hands, that no storm can get you out of his grip. But I think that perhaps he also knew that they needed to discover that he was not just a God who could feed the multitude on a bright, sunshining day, but he was a God who could just show up in the middle of the storm. He was a God, and they needed to know him as a God that could speak in the middle of the storm and could come in the middle of the storm. We all have times and seasons in our walk with God where he allows us to go through a storm. There are times where he sends us into a storm, and I'm not going to spend any time differentiating those two tonight for our purpose this evening, but there are times that God sends us into a storm, times that he allows us without any forewarning, without any knowledge ahead of time, without any warning, without tipping us off to sail headlong into a storm, into a dilemma, into a tragedy, circumstances of life that creep up out of nowhere, that he already knows are going to be contrary to us, and that he already knows are going to test us and are going to try us. But I've come to tell you that he also knows that it's going to be through that storm and through that season of test and trial that God is going to be able to teach us some things that perhaps we couldn't have found out anyplace else or any other way. It's not that he wants us to suffer. That's not the kind of God I'm preaching about. It's not that he enjoys our suffering or delights in our hardships in any way. Not that at all. But the reality is that defeat has a way of teaching us sometimes more than victory does. Adversity has a way of strengthening us more than comfort and ease. Resistance not only builds up our physical strength, if there's any exercise gurus or weightlifters in the room, resistance doesn't just build up your physical strength, but resistance has a way of building up your spiritual strength. And when I get in the storm, the storms of life, as terrible and as tragic as they are at times, they have a way of teaching us far more. And they have a way of showing for us and putting on display the depths of his love and the breadth that he's able to go through, go to reach us and to help us and to save us. Far more than the peaceful times in our life. It's in the stormy seasons of our life that we learn about the provision of God. It's in the stormy seasons of our life that we really learn about the blessing of God, about the confidence of trusting in God. These things happen in the storms of life. When Solomon commanded us in Ecclesiastes 7:14 to be joyful in the days of prosperity, we thank God for days of prosperity. But in the days of adversity, to consider, he said. One translation says to stop and ponder, to recognize what Solomon's saying, that they are both from God. Of abundance, in days of prosperity. We rejoice. We celebrate. We sang tonight, opened the service, was celebrate in the presence of the Lord. But I realize that while we are singing that, some of you here tonight perhaps are in a season of storm. And perhaps you find it difficult to really celebrate. But God wants to help you tonight. His word can help you tonight. He said, in those times, consider, think about it. Recognize that I am in those seasons. What he's saying is those times can teach us. They can teach us invaluable lessons. He was recognizing, Solomon was, this timeless truth that when things go well, we can enjoy those times. But it's in times of trouble and despair that we really stop and reflect on our lives, and we really begin to see the work of God in our lives. There's something about storms that cause us to stop and consider ourselves, to consider our ways, to consider the path we're on, or maybe consider the direction that we're heading. It's something about the storms of life that cause us to slow down and cut through all the facades of life and strike right to the heart of the matter. So Jesus sends them into the midst of the storm, knowing full well that he's sending them into this terrible storm. He bids them farewell. It wasn't just a minor storm. It wasn't apparently just a little squall or an evening thunder shower. These were experienced fishermen. These were experienced sailors that had probably grown up on their father's fishing vessels. They had seen many storms before, no doubt. They were no stranger to sailing through a storm. I'm not much of a boat guy. I've been out on boats. I've driven a few boats, but I've never really had to drive a boat. I don't think I've ever driven a boat through a storm, and I have zero desire to. No desire whatsoever. I would not know a whole lot about getting through a storm in a boat. Certainly not one of the storms that they were in or one of the fishing vessels that would have been in their day and time. Can you imagine the waves in the middle of the ocean, the middle of the sea that they were in that little fishing vessel? But yet these men, though experienced as they were, this storm was different. This storm was a different story. The Bible says that fear struck their hearts, and here they are all alone. Jesus is not with them. The storm has overtaken where they were on a high just the day before, and it seems as if the storm is going to destroy them, that the waves and the water are going to overflow them and capsize them. But when it seemed that all hope was lost, and when it seemed that perhaps they were about to go under, they noticed something in the storm. They noticed something of another worldly shape that was coming across the waters. And the Bible says at first that fear gripped them, and someone cried out, "It's a spirit that's coming." And the Bible says with one voice, they cried out with fear. They were fearful. Not only were they in the middle of a storm, but now there was some spirit apparently walking on the water. As if the storm wasn't enough to test them, now they have this being coming to them across the water. Now, we don't get too excited about this portion of the text because we have the benefit of reading the rest of the verses. Right? We don't get too worked up about that little passage about them being afraid because we know that it was Jesus. They didn't know. At least not then. At least not then, they didn't know. And so they're gripped with fear. And the Bible says they all cry out with fear. But after a moment, they begin to recognize what it is that is coming toward them and who it is that is coming toward them. And brothers and sisters, it was in fact a miracle that was coming in the midst of their storm. I don't know who realized it first, but somebody recognized at some point that we are not in this tragedy alone. And I've come to preach this simple message to somebody tonight and tell you that you are not in your tragedy alone. That Jesus was right with them. And Jesus is right here with us. Oh, somebody hear the preacher tonight. You are not in your dilemma alone. He has not forgotten about you. He knows where you're at. And he knows the way that you take. But he is in this storm with you.
right at the moment when it seemed that their ship would capsize, that they would be swallowed up by the storm, perhaps never to be heard from again. There comes a familiar voice, and he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." He said, "It's me walking in the storm. Don't be scared. I'm here with you." Can I tell you tonight that just as Jesus was a miracle in their storm, that Jesus is the miracle in your storm? Can I preach to somebody that he's right here with you? He's been with you through every storm of your life. He's in every storm of your life. His kids, his children never face a storm alone. They never face a contrary wind by themselves. You're not struggling against the stormy seas of your life by yourself. God's trying to talk to somebody on this Sunday. I heard it in this morning's sermon. I heard Pastor Williford reference it in the baby dedication, and now God's given it to me to preach again, to hit that nail again tonight, that God has never failed. He has never faltered. He has never let anybody down ever in history of time. He knows where you're at in your storm. His hand is on your life even when you can't see him. His hand is on your life even when it's not evident. Even when it seems that you're alone, he is there and he is speaking tonight through his word. Be of cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Somebody needs to realize that the very miracle you've been praying for and waiting for is in your storm with you tonight. That the provision you so desperately have been seeking, it's right here in your storm. That you are on a collision course with the miraculous provision of Almighty God. I think somebody ought to just take a moment and lift your hands and lift your voice and talk to him for a minute. He is in this place. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice to him for just a moment. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm preaching to you that he hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgot you. He may have sent you into the storm, but he did not intend for you to be capsized. He sent you into the storm, but it is not to your death. He sent you into the storm, but you are not going to be overtaken because he didn't send you there alone. You may not have recognized him, but he's walking right beside you. And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's watching over us in this storm. Oh, I feel him here tonight. I feel his presence one more time. Would you just entertain his spirit in this place? Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's difficult when we're in the middle of the storm to cast our cares upon him. But I heard it this morning. It was in my notes already for tonight. He's calling someone to cast your cares, your worries, your fears, your anxieties, everything that you find wrong, everything that's troubling you, to cast them on him. For Hebrews 10:23 says, "For he is faithful that promised." I'm preaching that we serve a faithful God. He has not forgotten you. It's not just preacher rhetoric. He knows exactly where you are at. He knows exactly what you're facing. He is your shield. He is my strong tower. He is my refuge in the middle of the storm. And so he comes walking, a miracle in the middle of the storm. The disciples see him. The Bible says he's walking on the water. Watch this with me. The same waves, the very same water that was tossing their boat, the very same waves that were about to destroy them, the very same water that they were afraid was going to capsize them, Jesus comes walking on that very same water. The wind was blowing with all of its terror. The waves are beating against the ship. And yet the master, with all his authority in heaven and earth, comes walking on the very thing that is battering them. Boy, you could just stop and preach about that for a little while. he comes walking on top of. I think there's a message in there somewhere that he's already put your dilemma under his feet. He's already put your adversary, whatever it is that's battering you, whatever it's that beating against your life or beating against your family, he took it to the cross. He already won the victory. He rose victorious. Hey, somebody, he's got victory in his hands. He's got victory for you. He's already put it under his feet. It's impossible to walk on water. Water wasn't designed to hold you and I up. Even the phenomenon of surface tension, which allows some aquatic bugs and insects and spiders, Lord help us, to walk across the water. Whew. I was duck hunting years ago down in the Everglades of Florida, first time ever duck hunting. And we walked through some marshes and we went past some gators. And I know I'm probably not the brightest guy around. I realize that. And I walked by the gators and I was afraid, but they were, you know, a little ways away. And I was holding on to the side of the canoe. Why were you walking through the water holding the canoe? That's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But the gators didn't freak me out too bad. But then when my headlamp caught these little sets of glowing things on the water, I said, "Hey, Jody, what's that?" He said, "Oh, no big deal." He said, "Those are just spiders." What? Time to get out of the water. A gator, you can at least see it coming. You don't know where those spiders are going to crawl all up in your waders and everything. My goodness. But even with the phenomenon, that wasn't even the Holy Ghost. That was, and whoever keeps putting spiders in my mailbox after I mention spiders every time from the pulpit, I'm close to praying in imprecatory psalms. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Kind of kidding. Back to the Bible here. Spiders, insects, surface tension, you know, they can. But, I mean, we all know that wouldn't have worked for a human being. That which seemed to be inadequate to support him proved through the miraculous power of God to be more than enough. Let me say that again. That which scientifically was inadequate to support the miracle, through the miraculous power of God, was the very vehicle that delivered the miracle. I've got caught up in the story that I've missed this before. Jesus comes walking on the water, receiving full support from that which was not sufficient to support him, from that which scientifically could not support him. What are you saying? I'm saying it wasn't just Jesus himself that was the miracle in the storm, but another miracle in the midst of the storm, that the very thing it appeared was going to destroy them became the vehicle that delivered the miraculous power of God into their midst. Oh, I heard the preacher preach this morning that you may think that your world is turned upside down, Joseph, when you end up in a pit and a prison. But just hold on. God knows where you're at. He knows what he's doing. He knows the way that you take. And he's using this thing to deliver his miraculous power into your life. Oh, somebody just worship the Lord for a moment. His presence is here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you have done the math tonight, and you're wondering how you're going to make it. You've figured it up. You've calculated it all out, and you're saying it's not enough. There is not enough. There's not enough to get through this. There's not enough to pay the bills. There's not enough. I don't have enough emotions left to get through this storm. I don't have the physical strength to beat and to take care of this. I'm not able to get through this thing all by myself. Oh, but I'm preaching to you tonight that you ought to factor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords back into the equation. And when you factor him into the equation, everything changes. He's the miracle in the midst of the storm. Jesus walked where it wasn't possible to walk. He went where it wasn't possible to go. Why walk across the waves? He could have, even this miracle, he could have done many other ways. I think it was just another way of him saying that when you're in the middle of the storm, just trust him. Help may come from an impossible place. Help may come from an impossible source. You may never be able to figure it out or calculate it, but just trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. It was right in the middle of their impossible situation that here comes walking a Savior that is more than sufficient to handle impossible situations. They were overwhelmed. They didn't know where else to turn, but Jesus is not overwhelmed. Your impossible situation does not hinder Him. Your doctor's report does not hinder Him. Your family dilemma does not hinder Him. The questions that are keeping you up at night, it does not hinder Him. But I'm preaching to you that He is a faithful God. He is a good God. He is our Father. And you are not walking alone. Somehow in the midst of your storm, He is there. He's with you. He's in this place tonight. Somebody worship Him one more time. Oh, I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I praise You, Lord. I magnify You. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Somehow Peter sees Him walking on the water, and I guess he thinks to himself, if He can walk across an impossible situation, if He can come in an impossible situation, then maybe He can empower me to walk where He's walking. And of course he says to Jesus, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. And Jesus bids him to come. He invites him to walk on the waves with Him. I'm just simply preaching to somebody tonight that He knows how to bring you through your impossible situation. Now we kind of get quiet here because we know what happens next, right? Peter's, or most of us do perhaps, at least probably we've heard about it in Sunday school, if not preached about. We know what happens next. Peter steps out of the boat. He starts walking on the sea. And this is probably the most known portion, unfortunately, for Simon Peter and his poor reputation. This is probably the most known portion of this story, when Peter walks on the water, right? But we know he doesn't walk for very long, does he? He walks for a little while. In one moment, he's standing on that stormy sea. And in the next moment, he's got his eyes on the storm around him again. And the Bible lets us know he begins to sink. He cries out, and Jesus reaches out. There's a message in that right there. If you cry out, Jesus is going to reach out. I said, if you call out to Him, He's going to reach out to where you're at. God knows where you're at. He's just waiting for you to call upon Him. Jesus reaches out and He takes him by the hand, and together they make it back to the boat. What's the point of all of this? Well, I think like many passages of Scripture, we can draw several truths out of this passage, but here's what I feel to highlight to your attention tonight is that through this story, we see Simon Peter's ups and downs in the story. We see this journey play out in his life, and we recognize that it probably plays out in our lives too. They set out on the journey. It was a good day. All was well. The miracle had just been done. The seas were, I'm assuming they were calm. At least they were not stormy yet. And then they encounter a storm. And he's went from the mountaintop to the valley. He's now afraid for his life. Then he sees Jesus walking on the water, and he's filled with fear. And the wind and everything, the waves, and if that wasn't enough to give him fear, now this spirit is walking on the waters. But then he recognizes it's Jesus, and their faith lifts, and they recognize that the miracle worker is in their midst. He, out of faith, I guess, steps out of the boat and walks on the water. But then he goes back to another low because he sees the waves and the winds, and he begins to sink. He begins to sink in the water. But then we go from the valley and we pick up a little bit. I don't know if we'd call it a mountaintop, but at least it's not the bottom of the ocean. Jesus picks him up and they walk to the boat. They get safely to the boat. And Peter's experience in all of this was this series of highs and lows. Simon Peter and the disciples, they went through this series of highs and lows, of mountaintops and valleys, periods of calm interrupted by periods of storms. And the reality is that Simon Peter in this situation was not all that together different than you and I, because we all go through highs and lows. good days and bad, calm days and stormy seasons. Paul in Romans used the phrase from faith to faith. From faith to faith. And this phrase, this brief little phrase seems to be a good explanation of the cyclical nature of our lives, that we go from faith to faith. We go from mountaintop to valley, from mountaintop to valley, from valley to mountaintop, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, sometimes from victory to tragedy, from trial back to victory. And if we're honest with ourselves tonight, we could honestly say that, like Peter, sometimes our faith is stronger on some days than it is on other days. Anybody? Sometimes my faith is stronger sometimes than it is at other seasons. If we're honest with ourselves, we've probably experienced times like Simon Peter. Sometimes where our faith is bold in the storm and we're ready to step out in the boat. And other times where our faith is weak and we find ourselves sinking in that very dilemma that we're in. None of us walks a perfect straight line of faith through our walk with God without any deviation. There's not one of us that does. Not one of us. I don't think. If you do, I want to be around you and let it rub off on me. But not one of us, I don't think, walks a perfectly straight line of faith through our walk with God without any deviations, without any detours, without any days where we question God, without any days where we wonder why. Heard somebody just before service this morning, was a part of a conversation, this evening service, where somebody in this church made the statement about a particular tragedy that has occurred recently. I just don't understand it. It just doesn't make sense. I know we trust God, but it just doesn't seem to make sense. Seems like the Lord's trying to drive a point home to us on this Sunday, throughout this entire day, that in our life there are highs and lows, there are ups and downs, there are good seasons and there are stormy seasons, there are mountains and there are valleys, there are pits and there are palaces and there are prisons in our life. But through all the highs and lows, through all the triumphs and defeats, they all work together for our good. That's what the scripture says. And from faith to faith, we make our way through this walk with God on this earth, ultimately making it to the other side. And God just simply sent me here tonight to let you know that He knows where you're at. He knows the way that you take. Brother Reaver, I had it in my notes before you read it in the sermon this morning. Job said, He knows the way that I take. And when He has tested me, I shall come forth as pure. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. If you're going through a storm, God wants to give you strength. Let me just say, I've referenced it a couple of times. Thank God for giving Pastor Reaver that message this morning. I thank Pastor Reaver for delivering it in the way he delivered it this morning. And if you're going through a storm, I'd encourage you, I would implore you to get a copy of this morning's message. But I just transparently tell you that when he was preaching this morning, I thought to myself, well, Lord, you're going to give me another message for tonight, because there's some pretty similar things here. We're using some of the same verses, some of the same analogies, some of the same phrases. Lord, you're going to give me another one. I tried this afternoon and another one didn't come. I even told Brother Spa before service, I said, well, I'm not sure. I think we might have a shout down tonight. I might not be getting to preach, because it's a pretty redundant idea to what the Reaver preached this morning. Brother Spa, without hesitation, looked back at me and said, I think God's trying to tell somebody something. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. I don't know what your current situation in life is. I don't know what your current storm or circumstance is all about. But I do know
that there is a God that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I've come to encourage you to get your eyes off the storm and to again fix your eyes on Jesus. To move your eyes off of the wind and the waves and turn your eyes to Jesus. There's an old hymn we used to sing that said, little is much when God is in it. And it's so true. Little is much when God is in it. It may not seem like you have a lot, like you have a lot of resource, like you have a lot of strength, like you're able to get through the storm that you are in. But little is much when God is in it. Would you stand with me? When God's in it, when God's hand is on your life, with Him, weakness can become strength. With Him, sorrows give way to joys. When God is in it, troubles give way to triumphs. When God is in it, He knows how to take you from a valley and place you back on the mountain. And when Jesus arrived back at the ship, with one command, He sends the storm away. He brings calm, and they worshiped Him there. And we realize that it was never about the storm to begin with. Was about a God who wanted to show them, I'm able to show up in a stormy place. We realize that it was never about the wind and the waves really at all. But Jesus wanted them to learn that a miracle can come in the midst of your storm. I'd invite you to come to this altar right now. This altar is open. And if He's ever brought you through a storm, I invite you to step out of where you're at and come around this front and give Him the worship and the praise and the honor that He is so deserving of. But if you find yourself in a stormy season of life, I invite you to filter in with these that are already coming. If you find yourself in a stormy season of your existence, I invite you to come as close as you can to this altar to find yourself a place to pray, to kneel down in His presence, to bow a knee, to bow your head, lift the hand, whatever you want to do to respond to His presence. I invite you to come to the front of this building and lift up your voice and say, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You're in my storm. I praise You, Lord, that You're in my storm. I honor You, O great God, because You've come in the middle of my storm. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, I thank You. I thank You. I thank You that Your presence is real. I thank You that Your presence is here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's it. Lift up your voice. If you've been brought through a storm, if He's brought you through a crisis or a trial, just lift up your voice and praise Him for a moment. But if you're in the middle of a season, if you're in the middle of a storm, just cry out to Him and feel His help come alongside of you tonight. Hallelujah.